Let's talk a little bit about this generation of wrath. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Joel 3:10. Let the weak say, I am strong. Is that not the tone we receive out there today? The world around us is arming itself with great fervor. And this is a sign of the millennial reign of Christ, according to the preterists. From the top levels of our ruling governments down to the average slave on the streets, the mood is warlike, unsure, pensive, and threatening. We can't but not feel the stress out there in the world, in our neighborhoods, even in our own families. Great cities have been created under mountain ranges across the globe. They can park armies in there. They can save all the upper echelons of governance. For what? What are they built for? A rainy day? The survival supply business has raked in billions of dollars. There's even one that is there to preserve the saints. Save the saints. To paraphrase, not exactly sure what the sales pitch is, but that makes a lot of sense. Don't give them any food for your soul. Don't give them any edification, encouragement, warning. Don't give them gospel. No. No, give them food, supplies, survival. Survival, big money. Got your MREs and your vitamin-packed nutrient powders, folks? Are you taking them down your narrow way? Are they strengthening your faith? Are they causing you to grow in grace or just boost your immune systems? Are you going to offer Jesus a power bar when he comes? Think you'll have any left over? If we think this crap will save us, we've replaced Jesus Christ with a bug-out pack. A lie. And that, dear friends, gives replacement theology a whole new meaning. You deceived teachers who augment your doctrine with saving the remnant shall not go unpunished. You don't care for the real needs of the saints, you two-bit peddlers, you panhandlers. Your bottom line is short-term profit. Come on. And it's profit on the name of God. By the name of God. I say prayer, not profit. No, well, that's boring. We're not happy with what God has provided for us as far as food, clothing, and shelter go. No. We've got to find ways to turn our paper mammon into gold and silver for the coming crash. You know, we're out there being jazzed by all these gold and silver peddlers. We got to hurry. Time's a-wasting. Now that's godly. Yeah. That's real forward thinking. I'll give you some forward thinking by looking backwards. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their gold and silver shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is a stumbling block of their iniquity. Yeah, backwards. Ezekiel 7:19. That's kind of looking back, isn't it? But hey, I suppose that until the wrath comes, we can buy and sell and survive after we refuse the mark of the beast, huh? So we're safe to assume that God will not hold this against us, huh? Our temples are a wreck, and the spirit of Antichrist sits on the front porches. Lovely. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. Isaiah 13:4. That's today. You know, our Christian right is spoiling for a jihad of their own. How soon before the Inquisition begins? We couldn't tell the players in this game without a program either. These guys and gals are folks we've come to love and trust, aren't they? Why, they're God's evangelists and miracle workers. They have credibility with the masses. Some of them support revolution and assassination. Where's that in Scripture? Better yet, where's that in the heart of God? So, who is it living and speaking through these great evangelists? Men teach us, and we follow them. And the Holy Spirit is not allowed to teach. Everyone's got some holy cause to kill for today. Nukes and chemicals and bio-bugs and technological monstrosities capable of rendering the planet waste proliferate. You know, the new age is upon us. Yeah, it is a new age. An age of war and destruction. Well, here we go again with another depressing editorial. Well, tough. The armies of the world are well supplied now. And let me tell you something. Look at it. Bullets are more valuable than butter and milk. Cool. We raise cannon fodder today. Two-legged cannon fodder. Our youth have been prepared for violence from the cradle. Our generation has become the dumbest ever produced, with emphasis on self, self, and self, and the ever-popular kill or be killed. The majority of us can be financially wiped out in a day due to any number of bad fortunes. We are in the last days spoken of by the real Jesus Christ. And there's no getting better until it's all over. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on the high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. Jeremiah 7:29. You know, I've been in a very troubled state of spirit lately, and I don't see much in the way of relief from the grief. The joy is there, no bitterness, but just grief. Our Father God grieves beneath his smoldering anger, and some of us share it with him. He trickles it down to the hearts of his own, because we have the heart of Christ, don't we? And we're trying to share this with you. To do his work, to get you ready, to wake you up. We are the generation of God's wrath. I've asked myself the sense of preaching so much about repentance and what is to come and such. You know, Father has answered this, though. For a few are yet listening to his pleas. His camp in the wilderness beyond the city walls is being fortified by his presence. God is visiting his saints at this time. I'm not the only one who knows this. God's saints are returning to him now in obedience and in strength and resolve. The churches are just a bad memory. And this is good enough for me to continue. This is good enough for me to find some solace in the fact that God is definitely taking care of his people. I do ask myself on occasion how many more pleas for repentance in the camp will go forth before God says enough. Now tell me, dear saints, what is in the hearts and minds of the world these days? Is it not a spirit of chaos, hopelessness? Are not hearts troubled, vexed? We can cut the sense of stress with a knife. Is there not perplexity in spades? It's now. And how's the weather been on your part of the planet? How stable is the earth beneath your feet or the sky above your heads? There's chaos in the realms and upon this earth and in the hearts of men. Do we not know the season? I'm sorry to repeat myself, but the sky is red. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Matthew 24:24. I was confronted by this scripture in a way like never before. It made me quite ill inside. I came to the grudging acceptance of the reality that billions are following these false Christs at this present time. All religions have been taken captive. Billions. Not just so-called Christianity. I was confronted by the terrible truth in 2 Corinthians 11:14, one that I was quite comfortable with up until now, that Satan has clothed himself in light and deceived many with false doctrine and caused many to follow what or who they believe to be the real Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of you ponder such as this, but for some strange reason, the reality of this dark truth really shook me up lately. I grieve in fear for the souls that are lost. I grieve that so many follow false Christs and are seeking a robber's way into heaven. And some of you say, well, these apostate tares, why, they were never saved in the first place. Excuse me! We're not saved until the end. We've got to flush out our headgear here. You come to Christ by the calling of the Holy Spirit of God, by hearing the word. You come as a result of his calling, okay? We come to Christ. Then what? We follow Christ. And are you saved? He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So we got to say many of these were called, and many of these were had tasted the heavenly gift. But why did they turn away? Why did they become apostate? The love of the truth was not in them. The immensity of how many follow false Christ is staggering. Satan has multitudes of ministers of light like himself, but Satan has fully counterfeited the actual Jesus Christ through which he has been allowed to take billions captive. And if we see the tares being gathered in the barns, the false churches, and we see the elect out in the wilderness, has not there been a separation of wheat from tares? And how long do we have? I'm not looking to the UN or the EU for signs. I'm not looking to most expositors' points and menus of the revelation events that are supposed to be occurring. Look at the things that are occurring among the saints. Look at the things that are occurring among the church. When we look at the moral and the spiritual and the mental conditions of not only our land, but the world. Yeah, I said mental conditions of not only our land and our world, but we look at the fruits of this spirit of chaos in the hearts and the minds and spirits of people. And how can't we not be already over the threshold? How can we not be already past the point of no return onto the next act? I happen to believe just that, and I'm not alone. Not that I care whether I have company or not. I believe God. I happen to know it in my spirit. Right now, God the Father, by His Spirit, is visiting His saints. His presence is heavy. It's sustained. As far as a timetable or countdown to future events, one has but to reach out with their eyes opened and their spirits united with God's to see this. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Jeremiah 6:13. It's not the watchmen that call out to those to repent. It's God who uses their voices to do His will. The watchmen are being called from the walls. Their duties are going to change, but they're still going to be there in the camp. I believe the time is at hand for the famine that we speak of, the famine of the word, to grow into a pestilence. And I also believe that the saints will be far from this plague. They've got the word living in them. When God says enough, when God seals, when God marks, that's it. The church out there is dead on the inside. And it's the world. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Do any of us have any idea what this means? God has said enough. I'm begging the brethren to reevaluate their motives and their desires. I'm begging the brethren to examine themselves. I'm begging that we all place ourselves squarely on the stone and break, that we would be surrendered and humble and supple before our merciful God. Who's got the power to save us? Us? Who's got the power to protect us? Us? I implore all of us to seek our refuge now. The only refuge of any hope we have is in our God, through His Son. To hell with our gold and our silver. When God visits His wrath upon us, will your shiny new gold sovereigns really matter? In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship.
The love of money.
Where are they going to throw them? To the moles and to the bats. And where are they going to go? To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty, when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Isaiah 2:20-21. They're going to go into those clefts of the rocks and their basements and their bunkers with empty pockets. And I'm telling you all that God has been telling me to tell the saints to seek their refuge, capital R. Father says, I'll take care of you, my children. And you're going, nah, not right now. Ain't got the time. Gotta dig another trench and lay a few more claymores out in the front yard. You don't trust your God has no reason to protect you. And you know it's no lie. No money, no goods, no arsenal, no mountain fortress is going to withstand the wrath of God. None will ever escape His sight. The majority of folks on the face of this earth face a rendezvous with wrath and death and judgment and hell. Not that too many are concerned, obviously. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. I see trampled vineyards. I see trampled fields. I see devastation as far as the eye can see, spiritually. I see a great gulf now, a gulf between the harlot's daughters and the true elect of God. I see a gulf between the world and God's saints. I see a gulf between the sinners of the camp and the righteous. I see a gulf, a very wide gulf between brothers and the elect and all this. Well, they're vastly outnumbered. Delusion, chosen by God Himself, has done its work. it yet continues. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Is anyone hearing today? And of course I know what to make of this. Do you? We're the generation of wrath. God's sealing may well be over and done with. I'm not privy to this wisdom. I only stand in fearful awe of his sovereign mercy, and I mean that. Job 33:13 gives me comfort in this case. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. God doesn't want to enlighten us on any particular issue. We shouldn't be going looking for it someplace else. I do know that many things have changed, and many more are changing before our very eyes. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. We've passed another crossroad. There's no going back. You are either of the Spirit of Christ, or you're of the spirit of Antichrist. Time is very short. And I can't say what kind of a future we have, because I'm not some prophetic prognosticator. All I know is what's in front of my face. I deal with the 6 inches in front of my face. I deal with what the Lord tells me. The Lord God still says this to the saints: seek me first. Seek me as your refuge. All things will be provided for you if you trust in me. What have we done? We haven't been trusting God. You're on one side of the road or the other. You're on one side of the cross or the other. You're either for Christ or you're against Christ. You're either for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, or you're against it. No middle ground. I'm going to exhort you, saints, to stand firm in your faith. I'm going to exhort you, saints, to hold fast, to seek after God, to seek first the kingdom of God, to seek nothing but the kingdom of God. Take care of your families, if families have been given to you, whether they're fellow saints, brethren or not. Take care of what's put in front of you. Honor your calling. Serve your masters as you would serve Jesus Christ. Are we ready to give an account? Are our temples clean? Have we cleaned out our houses? Does the Lord God and his Son Jesus Christ abide and sup with us? Are we ready for the overspreading of indignation? What kind of rain is falling upon us but a rain of fire that's falling down upon us now? Strife? Tribulation? What kind of love but that kind of love for oneself issues from the hearts today? And that call from a merciful, broken-hearted God for repentance falls on deaf ears and stone-hard hearts. And that call is soon to be heard no longer. So be it.